Well, we're going to get started this afternoon. We have about an hour. And so I kind of like, before we start officially, get to know a little bit about why you're in this session. Are you are some of you children's area leaders? Anybody like that? Are you children's workers? We're wanting to start children's ministry?
We have children.
We had nowhere else to go.
We just want to come and hear you.
I'll pay you later. Yeah, much later, because I have nothing in my wallet. Okay. Well, I'm Randy Rayburn. We're from Casper, Wyoming. Mary's going to assist me. I have been involved with kids for probably 20 years or so. Mary and I started a ministry, an after-school ministry called Kingdom Kids in a small town in Wyoming. We did that for quite a few years because it was right across the street from the elementary school. And so we started with this idea that comes from these scriptures. First one is in Psalm 8, and it's repeated in Matthew chapter 21. It's Psalm chapter 8, verse 2 says, "Because of your adversaries, you have," and speaking of God's adversaries, "you've established a stronghold from the mouths of children and nursing infants to silence the enemy and the avenger." And when the Lord highlighted that for me, I said, okay, there's more to kids' ministry than just teaching them and doing things for them. There's a power that's inside of even infants who can't talk yet. And if you go back and you look at that word, that's what it means. These are children that can't even talk yet, but yet from their mouth something can come forth that silences the enemy. And it just started stirring something in me that said, I think kids who are in the kingdom right now can serve in a capacity that really advances the kingdom and advances the church. And so I have been pursuing that. Mary is our children's church director, and then she also leads our vacation Bible school. And with this philosophy, we just believe that we're going to raise up powerful kids. The second scripture is from Matthew 18, 1 through 5. "And at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, 'Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And then Jesus called a child to him and had him stand among them. 'I assure you,' he said, 'unless you are converted and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child, this one is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one child like this in my name welcomes me.'" So I said the kingdom of heaven belongs to kids. Now, in my heart, the kingdom belongs to them now. So how can we do this thing called children's ministry so that it's not things we're always doing for kids, but so that we see kids included in the kingdom? Now, I'd like to stop right here and pray. I've been kind of waiting for my prayer warrior to show up. Hudson, how would you feel about coming up here and praying? Would you be okay? You are just such a... I understand. I'm going to try for number two. Ava, how would you feel about coming up and praying?
Maybe they could
come together. Hudson, what if you could come up with Ethan, would you? Ethan is a sixth grader. Just started sixth grade, came up through Children's Church, Kingdom Kids, PBS. And so we're so old to miss him, but his mom back there, Becca, is our daughter, is my grandson. So he's just started with youth group. And I guess one thing that we want to really see happen is that our children step into youth group is really powerful. Aren't just kind of going in and hopefully find themselves. They put on some footing with Jesus and they're walking with him. So So I just wanted you to open this session with prayer, if you would, and just pray how the Lord leads you.
Lord Jesus, I just pray that this section will go by smoothly, and I just pray that whatever my grandpa has to say, it will affect all these people in a great way.
So one of the things that we also do in Kingdom Kids is that we not only, you know, with this idea of the kingdom belonging to the kids, we not only have lessons and stuff for them, but we activate them in prayer, even prayer for one another and prayer for those who come in who are sick or who are not feeling well. And we want them praying for healing. And yeah, we see it. We see some healings happen, and we see sometimes where it doesn't. And where we just need to step in and say, well, you guys, I don't know why this person wasn't healed, but I am never going to stop believing that Jesus Christ heals people, because that's what his word says. And then I don't believe that just because you're a grown-up person that you have more faith, the little guy or little guy. In fact, this says, if you're not converted, become like a little child, you don't even enter the kingdom of God. But wherever Jesus went, when he went preaching, when he went healing, when he went casting out demons, that happened. And so I believe that can happen with kids also. So, that being the case, that's what we're trying to pour into kids. And so I just wanted Mary to share a story about one of our other grandkids. It's like the grandkid show, I know, but, you know, and I've got pictures. But would you just come and share that story about Karis?
Our daughter Jennifer has four children, and her last one is a little girl. She has three boys, little girl. Well, Karis, we were doing chores one morning. Jen's going to school, and I was taking care of the kids, and so it's chore time, right? So Karis decides that her job needs to be cleaning the toilet. I mean, she insists upon it. And so we go into the bathroom. I get her set up. I don't know why, but I bought one of those pretty little things that you scrub the toilet out with. But the tops on those, if they're not screwed on tight, they drop right into the toilet. Well, that's Karis starts cleaning out the toilet, and that top just drops. Into the toilet, and we're fishing for this thing that falls off the top, and I mean it's not happening, we're not getting it. I mean, several of us try, and so Karis, I wish I could sing, somebody should do this, but Karis, she's standing by the toilet, you know, believing God, and she begins to sing, bless the Lord, oh my soul, with her little four-year-old heart. She begins to pray and believe God. I mean, that we're not going to have to, you know, a plumber's expensive. And that's what we were looking at. And so it's like she's just believing God that he is going to help us find a way. I mean, it was like a puzzle that wouldn't fit. And God, he answered her prayer. I'm just saying it's really cool when we train our children that God is always the answer, no matter whether it's a small problem like dropping something into a toilet that's not supposed to be there, or it's a big problem. Jesus is always the answer. And so that's our heart with our kids at church, or whether it's our grandkids or kids.
Kids. So how do we go about establishing this kind of a thing in our local churches? I think the first thing is that first we've got to find who it is that is going to help us. I don't think we can do this thing alone. And so through the help of Jesus, we find the right people who come along with us, who adopt these things that we're talking about, and they believe the same way we do. And then we start working together according to each other's creativity and according to each other's gifts and according to the calling of God on our lives. So we go about finding and, I believe, selecting the people that we want. to work along with us. Jesus did the same thing, right? He chose the 12. And sometimes there'll be people who find us and say, I really want to be part of this. This is part of who I am too. But I believe that we choose the team members, and we choose them according to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and we choose them according to what we see in their lives and their ability to connect with kids. For a long time, I was a youth pastor, working with Don and Sheree, and in two different places. And although I loved them, I didn't connect well with them. And in fact, now we're feeding high schoolers lunches from our church building, just a few blocks from high school. And the kids can come in, they'll sit down at tables, get the food. I'll go and I'll sit down at a table to just kind of start a conversation with them, and I mean, it dies. I can kill a conversation in 5 seconds. So I go back and I wash pots and pans. And we have this lady named Carmen. Last week was our first week. Carmen goes, sits down at the table. She sits down at the table, and I'm telling you, within 10 seconds, she's getting all of this kid's life story. Why he's mad at God. Here's what happened. And he just starts putting all this stuff right down there for her. So I think there are people who are called, who are gifted, and who just seem to connect. And I think all of that is necessary. Okay, so who is it that you're going to build teamwork? And I hope that even while we're in these sessions this weekend, the Holy Spirit downloads to you, hey, why don't you invite so-and-so onto your team? Hey, why don't you think about it? Now, somebody may not be ready yet, and so you work with them, you develop a relationship with them, until there's a release, and they say, okay, I'm on the team. Okay? But I feel like first thing is to build a team of people who are going to be working together, because I don't think one person is going to be able to carry it. You agree?
Can I say something?
Yes, ma'am.
Honestly, attention span is, you know, our kids are bombarded with a lot of video games, etc., and we're finding with the attention span levels that we, you know, I'm moving, like every 5 minutes, I'm moving from one thing, I want it obviously led by the Holy Spirit, but I'm using different voices, so to the extent that you're able to train people up to teach, the different voices and moving them from sitting to standing to, you know, I just think we have got to use a full force of creativity when we're teaching and training our children, because we have a creative God. He's incredible. I mean, when you look at the what he has created and the beauty of what he's created, what can we create with our words? You know, for me, I don't learn always so well with just hearing. I'm wanting to create pictures, visuals, obviously, something they can touch, something they can feel. The word says, taste and see that the Lord is good. I mean, taste and see that the Lord is good. I mean, allow them to taste. In the atmosphere, allow them to taste with their senses, with their touch. I don't know. I probably said enough, but God is—he's just incredible, and that's the visual that we want to paint. Is that he is not boring. Our God is not boring.
It should be illegal to have a boring children's church. Boring says it should be illegal.
So.
Thank you. Yeah. So on your team, you know, on your team, I think it's really good to have people who can write. One of the things that our kids love to do is they love to participate in skits. And if you can write them in such a way that they don't have to memorize lines, and maybe it's just act out a Bible story, but our older kids, I talked about ambassadors in a little bit, our fourth and fifth graders, love to do puppets. And so if you have somebody who can write puppet skits that go along with what you're teaching, it's so helpful. It's very helpful. It's good to have an administration kind of person on your team. And I don't know how you handle making sure kids are safe and that kind of thing. We went to a system called Kid Check. It's called Kid Check. Do any of you use that? It's a computer system. People come in. They're assigned on it. They come in. They sign themselves in, and then they get receipts. They put the sticker on the kid. It's the name. It has all of the information about that kid, if they have allergies or that kind of thing. So we know, by just looking at a name tag, how we can contact that parent right away if we needed to. We have a count on the number of kids that are on the nursery and children's church, and it spits out a receipt for the parent. And the parent has to hand that guardian slip to us, and it has to have, the numbers have to match. Can you think of some reasons why you would want that sort of a system? We have had dads who are no longer part of the family want to come and pick up kids and get very angry about it. But we're training our people. They don't show you that tag. They don't hand that to you, and it doesn't match the numbers on the kids. We don't release them, and they'll get mad. We'd rather they get mad at us than a child get released into somebody's custody that shouldn't. So we use Kid Check, and that tells us who all is there for that day. We can track all kinds of things. I don't know how expensive it is, but I haven't looked at all of that, but I do know it's working for us. Kid Check. Okay, so when you have found the team, you have to have something to invite them to. You have to know what it is that we're inviting people to do. What are we asking of them? The more clarity I think that you can give somebody, here's what we're trying to accomplish here in our children's ministry. Here's what we're about. The more you can give them, the more they know what they're buying into. And so, one of the things that I think is important is writing a mission statement. And the mission statement is just, here's what our mission is with the kids. Yours will be different than mine. On the app that we have for the conference, all these notes are there. But this first one is just verbs that you can choose that best describe the activities that we're going to be involved in with kids. What is it that we want kids to do? So I circled three. One was disciple, which I think is misspelled on there. One is reveal. We want God to be revealed to our kids. We want revelation to come to kids. And you know, even for nursery age kids, are any of you working nursery? Even for nursery age kids, we want to be praying over them. I'll never forget walking into our foyer one time. It was before a service. And a grandpa's carrying around his grandbaby, not even 1 year old yet. And this little boy is looking around, he's going, wow, wow, wow. And I am convinced that he has seen angels. Just because they're little doesn't mean their spirit isn't already active. So one of the things that we want to see happen is that Jesus is revealed to them. The Holy Spirit is revealed to them. And they become very aware of who God is and how he wants to work in their lives. So initially, I think I took this from another book. I should give them credit, but I don't remember what it was. But it says, choose 10 words that would be activities. You wouldn't have to choose these from this list only. You could make up your own. I did. And then right below that it says, okay, now from those 10 words, choose the three that you would want to use the most. Okay, so one I chose was disciple. And then I'll give you what we did with these words at the end. Another thing is that I chose was that we want them to practice. We want them to practice kingdom stuff. So can you hear that we're not just thinking we're going to teach lessons? It isn't that the activity we want from them throughout the whole time is we want you to listen.
Yeah.
We want you to do something. Kids, we want you to do something. And then one of the other words that I chose was sin. Because not only do we want our kids learning about Jesus or experiencing Jesus when they're in a church building, everywhere they go, we want them to know that God can send them too, that they don't have to be big people before God sends them.
Mandy, can you share?
Yes, ma'am.
One of the things that I really used VBS for is we'll do it at the end of the summer because the kids are ready for something different. But it also prepares a lot of our kids that are going back into secular environments. And obviously a lot of what they're being taught in the public schools is that there is no God and that we evolved somehow. And so I've used a lot of curriculum that actually is teaching our children the truth about creation. And there's, I can't even think of it right now, but so we spent a whole week teaching and training our children that, okay, so what if your teacher says that you evolve? Now, is that the lie or is that the truth? And so that is one of the ways that we're equipping and training. And it's like, okay, so what does the Word of God say? You know, that... If they don't have some kind of basis from what to build, it's like what, you know, some of you have used Legos, and it's like if you don't have that base that you build on, then there's nothing there to hold it up. You know, and that's what we have to teach our kids, and obviously so many of you are, but if the Word of God is not their base from which they are making decisions, then we're in trouble. I'll say, I mean, this is a big deal right now. Our kids are being taught that it's okay for a man and a man to become a family, and that's okay. That's a family. Well, okay, so what does the Word of God say? So I'm, you know, we're trying to really teach our children that are going into these secular environments that they can't always receive what their teachers are saying as true, that we've got to establish the Bible as true and nothing else.
Okay. I'm going to, if you got another thought, let me know. So one of the things we're using to help kids learn the Bible, and we're also convinced that not only revelation from the Bible, but also knowing the Bible, we would like them to be as familiar with it as possible when they go into high school, middle school and high school. So we're using Bible quiz, especially in the summer. Have any of you done Bible quiz? You can get all kinds of questions. Well, ours came from the Assembly of God because I was in that movement before we came to this church. But Bible quiz has all kinds of questions about how many books in the Bible and how many books in the Bible?
66.
Yes. and so we just try and make it as fun as we can to learn facts about the Bible as well as learning stories from the Bible. When we refer to those and when we're teaching, asking questions is a way to keep kids engaged. We're asking them just, so does anybody remember the name of the guy who built the cross? And you've got it. When they know the answer and they can give that, they're part of the deal now. They're not just listeners. They're not just an audience. They're participants. And I think that helps them. Okay, so second thing in this list is... Sorry, guys. Some outcomes that you would like to see happen. What What would you like to see be the results of the time that you pour into kids? What would you like to see them be able to do as a result of having been with you? You know, and one thing we're not thinking here, when we minister, is we would like them to be able to remember the story or the lesson they just heard. That's good. I would like them to remember that. But we want them to do something with it. We want them to be encouraged to go and help someone, serve someone, bless someone. If they're confident that they can pray for someone, that's what we want to see happen. We want to see that if they are looking around and there's somebody who is obviously upset on the playground, you can be the one who goes to them, helps comfort them in the Holy Spirit, and release something from God that helps that kid feel better, do better. If somebody gets hurt, we want to release them to pray for them. Do you have something?
I just wanted to share just a little bit. I was raised in a home where I knew about God, but I didn't know Jesus. I didn't, and so we may have that child one time that really knows about him intellectually, but they don't know Jesus. And so my heart is when they come in that they find out how much Jesus really loves them. And that they can ask Jesus to come into their heart to be their Lord and Savior. I was almost 16 years old, and I had gone to a church where I knew about Jesus. But no one had ever said to me, I could ask Jesus to come into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. And it's like, we've got to be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit that we're not so busy just teaching the lessons that we forget to invite people to say to these children, did you know you can have Jesus come and live inside your heart? That he can change the whole direction of your life. He can change who you marry, what you do with your life. That's what happened to me. I knew about him, but I didn't know Jesus. You guys, find those ones that come. Find those ones that need Jesus and share life with them. It'll turn the whole course of what they do with their lives. Let them see who he is.
You know, I would say about that too, that there is a reward in this thing that we're doing, and that we really need to enjoy the rewards. When you see that one who makes it, whose life has changed and is different because you poured into him, that's a reward. It's like Solomon, who's building all this stuff, and then he takes time to step back and go, wow, that's what God did. And I think it's vital that we do that as well, that we take time to enjoy what God has produced for our lives. Because there's enough other stuff. You go, what am I doing here? But when you get those victories, I think, enjoy the reward. This is a part of a devotional. I make these every week for our kids. And I don't know if you can see it from way back. But on the first page, usually I have some kind of a Bible study idea that goes along with a lesson that we were teaching. This is about the prodigal son. So in this maze, which I took off the internet, you're helping the prodigal son find his way home. It's a four-page front and back thing. And usually I do a coloring page or something like that. We ask the kids, take care of this at home. Learn the verses of the Bible off of that. And then when they bring it back, we put the name in for a drawing. And then at the end of a month, we pull out a winner and we give them a big prize. Because we want to encourage them to bring these back, to do them at home, to pay attention to them. And then the fourth page is always the parent page, where I want to communicate with parents. Here's what we learned to do. Here's how you can encourage your children at home. Here's how you become interactive in this so that it's not you depending on us to raise up this child. There's a teamwork in the office. And so we want parents to be involved in this thing that we're sending to them also. We do the same thing with children's church, the parent page that we're trying to send home. Kingdom Kids happens on Wednesday night. Children's church is our Sunday morning kids ministry. So just so you know how that works timeline. In the summers, we move Kingdom Kids to Wednesday mornings. So there's something midweek. And then we do a 3-hour session. And a lot of times we do field trips. We just get a lot more time with them, give them a lot more recreation time, because we believe that not only can we instruct kids when they're in a classroom when they're sitting, but when they're playing games and their little attitudes come out, okay, sometimes big attitudes, when those attitudes come out, you have a great teachable moment. What are you feeling right here? I'm angry. Why are you angry? Why are you mad at that person? Because he tripped me on purpose. Hey, come here. Did you trip him on purpose? No, it was an accident. I don't know which kid to believe, but I do know that we got to help them figure out how to settle these things with one another. And so we'll do games that bring out those attitudes. We'll help them get from in here to out here so it can be dealt with. And then hopefully we can help them become better kids.
Can I share something? Mm-hmm. Randy mentioned the idea of incentives. I mean, you could look at it as a bribe. You know how they pull a name out of a hat, you know, and they get a prize. And it's like, well, is that an incentive or is that a bribe? Well, mm-hmm. Pastor Dave gives a dollar for every verse that my grandchildren memorize. So what do you think? Is that a bribe? What do you think, Beth?
My parents started it.
I love her parents. You go to their house and you sit down at their table for dinner, and everybody gets to choose a memory verse for the day. And I remember it just speaking in my heart, but I believe what that does is put a love for the Word of God in these kids' hearts. It's like, you know, the Word says that He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So is it a bribe or is it an incentive? I don't know. I think our God is a lot of fun. I do. And I think it makes it fun for our kids.
We had a kind of alternative VBS this year because we kind of ran out of funds. And so Child Evangelism Fellowship came in and did it for us. But we didn't do it the same way. We always do it when Mary's the director, because she always has this humongous store. And for everything that you do well, you know, when you get noticed for having a good attitude, or you get another ticket, and you store these tickets, and then you go get things from the store. So they wanted to know, where's the store? We're coming to this deal, where's the store? So at the end of the week, kids come up and said, yeah, that was good, but next year, we need to do our own. You got it? The third thing about what we do is who's the target for you. Now, this shouldn't be a real difficult thing. It may be infants, it may be toddlers, it may be preschoolers. Becca and Caleb now in our church are running on youth group. We are, in our ministry, for Kingdom Kids on Wednesdays, we take from 4-year-olds to 5th grade. And it's always interesting when that next 4-year-old comes in, and they're used to, you know, having a lot of playtime. But here's what we found, that as they're around those older kids, they learn. They learn how to become participants in the kingdom of God. And so when we have kids pray for others, you know, Hudson's a little shy today, but Hudson prays like nobody's business. And he has done that since he could talk. And when he prays, he touches God. And the 4-year-olds learn that they can do this stuff. And so we see that change. Now, on Sunday mornings, we do kindergartners to 5th grade. And then we have another class for 4 and 5 year olds. So that's how we break down each one. But who's your target? Who are the people that God is calling you to minister to? Yes.
God?
Yeah, I love ministering with God. So that just reminded me one more thing I might just say that can kind of help. We have built a thing over the years that we just consistently use. And we call it the 5 bucks. Have you heard of the 5 bucks? Anybody doing child evangelism program? What helps with this is that we can pull the kids back to where they need to be if we start losing them with just saying 5 ups. And it's look up, sit up, listen up, zip up, and hand up if they have a question or, you know. And so we start teaching the kids right from the start, when as soon as they come in, okay, 5 ups, guys. And then we have them repeat it. What are they? You know, they list them off. We try to have fun with it so it doesn't become this, you know, sounds very staunch kind of thing. So we try and have fun with it. But it does help us pull kids right back into attention. Sit up, listen up, hand up if you have a question or want to respond to a question. Zip up and listen up. And we feel like if children will do those ups, it will express honor to the one who is speaking, whether it's an adult or whether it's another child. We believe that if a child is sharing a testimony about what God did to their lives or in their lives, that every child should hear that for two reasons. One, for the child who is sharing to know that they're respected and they're honored, and that they can share something in there that is just as important as what we may share as adults. Two, another child may hear what happened through this child's life, and then they agree with that and say, oh, that could happen in me too. Okay, questions? All right, so then we put it all together. I lost that. I'm not going to go and pick the button. Again. Here's what we came up with for our children's ministries. We are helping kids believe that they are active participants in the kingdom of God now. They don't have to wait till they grow up. So our value is the kingdom belongs to them. The kingdom of God belongs to them. So here are three things that we want to do about that. Okay. Number one, we want to disciple kids into their extraordinary selves. We want them to believe that they are above ordinary. That because of the spirit that God breathed into them, the spirit that they have an ability to connect with God in a life-changing way. Number two, we want to help to prepare kids for the world that they're in but not of. So, as Mary was saying about VBS, we've really gone kind of the creation route a lot of times in our VBSs to make sure they have this foundation that they know that God is the one who created the heavens and the earth. We want them having a biblical perspective when they go into their classrooms so they're not inundated by all these evidences. Third, we want to send powerful kids into the world to radiate God's kingdom wherever they go. Those are the things that we're after. We want to disciple them into their extraordinary selves. We want to help prepare kids for the world that they're in but not of. And then we want to send kids into the world to radiate the kingdom of God. So, Ethan, you come up here and share one more time, please.
Now?
Right now. Now, Ethan just finished what we called ambassadors. Ambassadors were our fourth and fifth graders whose parents said, yes, they can participate in this. And, Ethan, one of the things that you guys did was you went and helped a ministry. Can you share a little bit about that?
Okay. So, we went out to a ministry called VBB, Vision Beyond Borders. And they're always looking for volunteers to help them pack up bags. And what we did with the bags for packing up boxes and stuff like that, we would pack them all up, and then afterwards they would send them out with missionaries to other countries with like packages that talk about the Word of God, so that their children, like or if they're having a rough time, they can just look to those to look for help from God.
Can you think of anything else to do as ambassadors that you really enjoy?
We had another thing about it was being an ambassador. The little kids always looked up to us, and they always looked to us for help, and it was always fun to help them if they needed help.
Yeah, that's good. I didn't prepare them for this at all, because I wanted it to be kind of off the cuff, so thank you. So we say to the ambassadors, look, these guys are looking to you. So if it's the fourth and fifth graders who are doing the talking, then somebody slips back there and kind of whispers in their ear, you're setting an example right now. And you know what helps these guys do is accept more responsibility, not only for their own conduct, but for helping somebody else. And so, thank you. When they get involved with something like Vision Beyond Borders, it helps them to understand there's this huge world. And it's not just limited to Wyoming, the least populated state in the nation. Our largest city is 70,000 people. And there's only two towns about that size. All the rest of them, you know, shoot straight down to about 3,000 less. So it's not very highly populated, and Wyoming can seem to be a state unto itself. But right there in Casper, we have this great opportunity to introduce them to the world. Another great opportunity is Operation Christmas Child. Do any of you do that? Anybody got a great story about how that's worked in your church? Operation Christmas Child? Yeah, it is just such a terrific way for kids to give. So what we do is on a Wednesday night, we have a packing party for the whole church. And the kids come in along with the adults, and we all donate all kinds of items. We get the boxes. We have kids write notes to whoever it's going to. Sometimes that communication continues, sometimes it doesn't. It's just a terrific way for kids to be involved in the world outside of their town or their community. So, something to keep in mind.
Mandy?
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to note this idea of ambassadors where we're actually training the older kids, we're discipling them. And at least Randy's done better with this than I have, but when we lived in Wheatland, and we had a group of kids, including Rebecca at times, that was part of the team. And we would get together and we plan for Kingdom Kids. And Heidi Lenner was on that team. And during that time, I mean, her family really was in upheaval, major upheaval, and had gone through divorce. And there was just great sadness, honestly, in that home. But one of the ways that we were able to help disciple her and become a support and a strength to her was to have her part of that team. So when you're looking at kids, older kids that can be on your team, it's just an awesome time to disciple them and to bring the strength and the support that is maybe lacking in their own families. I mean, Heidi will say now today, it's like, it was so nice just to come over and have a roast and sit down and be part of your family. And I don't know, Rebecca is working a lot now with kids that are coming in from this this program of us feeding kids during the lunch hour that their homes are shattered and broken, and these kids are beaten up inside, and I don't know if you can. Are you okay with her coming to chair right now?
I am. I was kidding. Okay. Give me a few minutes because there's something else I want you to share with me.
Okay. So I'm just saying, you really use this time where you have the minute you need helpers you know, to work with your kiddos, but use it to disciple them and to bring strength to them where their homes are probably, many of them are broken.
Most of the kids we're finding are unparented. The vast majority just don't have parents who are involved in the home. When they come to eat a lunch at our church, it's things like spaghetti, it's things like, today they're having salisbury steak and mashed potatoes and gravy and a vegetable. You guys, they're not getting that at home. I bet it's not much different in your communities. For example, we have this kid who came last year in November. Right after Thanksgiving, the kids come in, we greet them. This woman, Carmen, I told you about, sits down with them at the table, and she says, "So, how was your Thanksgiving?" "Well," she said, "what? What happened?" "My parents left Wednesday night. I didn't see them again until Sunday. They were gone the whole weekend?" "Yeah." "What'd you do for Thanksgiving?" "Sat at home, played video games." "They prepared no food for him. They didn't make any arrangements for him. He was all alone through that whole holiday, trying to just scrounge up whatever food he could out of lunch." And that's not the exception anymore. If we, as churches, can show kids what family is, if they can have just a taste of family, I think they're going to want it.
Yep.
I think they're going to want it. The other thing that we're trying to do is collaborate with parents, as I was mentioning before. Now, we haven't found really good ways of doing that yet. Because we're so busy. We have tried having meetings at the church. We have tried doing desserts. We've tried doing presentations for the kids. But sometimes for parents, that's just one more thing to schedule. And so now we're doing this parent page on this devotional, and all they've got to do is read it. But I feel like we've got to find better ways. And so if you are doing something that includes parents that we can learn from, I would really appreciate that. I do feel like we as with kids and with youth ministry, we have got to find ways to work with parents and helping kids come up to this place in God. Okay, next thing that I had was just, now, how do we measure what we've done? How do we know if we're achieving what it is that we're after? What you don't measure, you lose. What is not measured, you don't know if you gained anything or not. All right, so here are some things that just came to my mind. So one measurement, are kids growing in their knowledge of the Bible and their ability to live what they're reading? Are they growing in what they know and what they're living from the Bible? Because you know what James said. Not any good, go and look at the word and then walk away from it and not do anything that it says. It's like looking in the mirror and forgetting what you saw. Right? Okay, second thing, are kids able to connect with God in prayer? Are they able to connect with God in prayer? It's a measurement tool that just says, yeah, we're getting across what it is that we're after. Something is happening in this arena where there's a connection with God. Do kids experience the Holy Spirit? Are they experiencing Him? Are they experiencing, for example, dreams or seeing things vision-wise? Are they kind of hearing or gaining by some kind of sense that the Lord is talking to them? Do they know when He's talking to them? Can they discern His voice? Do they know when He's giving them a download, sharing something with them, prompting them? Maybe they need to go and ask forgiveness somewhere. And I would think that's a community. Okay, and then are kids sharing what God has been giving them? Are kids sharing what God has shared with them? If they're doing that, then we know that in sending them, the thing that we're after is happening. I'm sorry, it's the warning for you guys. Hope you're right. Becca, would you kind of come and share? And one thing I had in mind was how we transition outgoing fifth graders and going sixth graders from kids to youth group. And then, whatever you want to hear about, the headaches would pause for you.
We just kind of transition every August their kids from Kingdom Kids to
to youth group, and actually my dad has set this up where we go out to Natural Bridge. It's kind of like a national park area that the state has set up, and we all go out there as a church. And then pray over the kids coming into youth group. The youth group kids pray over them that are accepting them into youth group, and the kids that from Kingdom Kids are releasing them and praying them into youth group. And so it's been really neat that way, because I think it smooths out that transition, and it causes the youth group kids to accept them and not go, oh, we've got more annoying junior hires coming into our youth group. But they accept them as important, and as important to the youth group to take them on into who they're supposed to be in Jesus as well, and the Kingdom Kids as well. I think with my dad starting these lunches on Wednesdays and Fridays, we've got quite a smorgasbord of teenagers. We grew from Caleb and I taking over the youth group from probably like, I mean, consistently, we had 8 kids when we first started, and now we got 40, and if everybody were there, it would probably be 60. and a lot of them, I would say at least half of them, if not two-thirds of them, are coming from lunches, are coming from the junior highs, are kids that are not parented, whose parents are not involved in youth group whatsoever. And so we are crying out to God to help us, because these kids, I mean, like sometimes slip the F word at youth group and that kind of a thing, but they are so desperate for adults to talk to them, for adults to pay attention to them, for people to love them, because they're so parents, at least in our community, they hit junior high and parents say, okay, you're grown up, go to high school and then go to your sports all night, and then we'll see you when you get home, we'll say goodnight. And these kids have been through terrible ordeals. And so I think one of the things that Jesus has really been talking to me lately is to put my face in the wind of his spirit. I don't have everything that they need. I don't have everything that they need moms and dads. Every one of them need moms and dads so desperately, but if we can put for our kids and for these teenagers, if we can put our faith in the wind of God and not look at, I don't know how I'm going to take care of this, I don't know how I'm going to deal with this, I'm not, like, all the circumstances, I mean, like, I would guess, and this, 70% of our kids going to high school and that kind of thing are dealing with some kind of sexual abuse, some kind of, I mean, it is across the board in our high school, that if you were to really find out what's going on in these kids' lives, it's intense, and the kind of healing that they need is so intense that only Jesus can make it right. And I live in picture. I live when God gives me pictures, and this morning it was kind of sad, but I felt like this morning in the service that Jesus was taking us ahead. And it was like, you know those movies where you can go pick out whatever treasure, whatever gift you want? There's a Tinkerbell movie. There's a movie, and she gets to pick out her gift, whatever gift she has, and it felt like God was saying, what do you need? Come and get it. Like, here it is. And so I went into heaven this morning. So I went into heaven this morning, and I took a bottle of repentance. And I'm like, okay, God, I need repentance. My kids, my youth group needs repentance. They need to repent. They need, God, I don't want kids who are going to, I don't want to teach them how to be good Christian kids. I don't want to teach them how to go to church know their Bible verses, even though the Word of God is so important, but not live it out with their lives. I want to see these kids be passionate for the things of God and for your people. I want their lives to make a difference at school because they're going to school and people are telling them very intense things like, if they're angry with each other, they say, why don't you both slit your wrists and commit suicide? And they're dealing with these kind of things and in-your-face comments constantly, day by day. And so putting tools into their hands to say, hey, listen, if you step into that middle of a conversation and you say, hey, do you really want that to happen? What happens if they really go do that? You're going to be devastated. Don't use those words. Don't let people just say those things, but allowing the Spirit of God to move through these kids and turn their hearts. Because I think where my generation, I'll finish up here, but where my generation, we had an aspect of religion still from our parents. We had an aspect of the church and that kind of a thing. But this generation, I talked to one kid one time, and I was talking about confession at a Catholic church. We were just, can't even remember it. We were just kind of joking around talking about confession. And they're like, what's confession? What's Catholicism? They had no idea. They have no idea what Christianity is, what Catholicism is, but they're starving for connection. They're starving for connection with the Spirit of God, and they're starving for connection with moms and dads and in relationship. And the kids are too. And if we can connect them to Jesus and to each other, I think we could really see them like true revival in their heart. And it's going to spread like wildfire because they're starving. And because they're so hungry, and because God loves hunger, it's something that draws him. It's something that he just like if you decide that you're going to be hungry for Jesus, if you're going to search after God, then he runs to that immediately. And sometimes I've gone into youth group and I'm like, oh, I'm so tired. And we'll have worship service that night or whatever. And there's been times where it felt like he came so strongly to show these kids that he loved them. I almost could not stand up in the room because it's so heavy. And I'm just like, man, God, he loves our kids. He loves these teenagers so deeply. And if we can... instead of looking at the problems and looking at what's wrong, put our faces in the wind of his Spirit, we don't see the problems anymore. We just connect them to Jesus.
We just have a minute or so left. Do you have any questions or comments?
Yes, sir. When you're talking about kids in the high school and even kids coming into Kingdom kids that don't have the idea of the church or not your typical church kids, what's the strategy so that our kids are affecting those kids and those kids aren't affecting ours? I know for me growing up, that was a huge thing. If there was someone that didn't look like me, then rather than having them look like me, I wanted to look like them. And so I'm just really curious, like, what's the strategy so that we're bringing them into our culture and we're not letting them bring their culture into
that
us?
Good question. That was one of the biggest things with the youth group and the kids coming in. You want to address that?
We're still trying to figure that out completely, but I think it just comes back to the Spirit of God. Like if you... Our church kids, as well as our kids coming that have never been churched in their lives, we are made to
want Jesus. We're made to need him. We're made to really live in the Spirit of God. And so when you draw on that in them and really pull on the gifts and the strengths that are on the inside of them, then it makes them feel that value, but it also pulls out of them the things of God that have been put in their life.
Can I say something too? I think that you guys have established strong boundaries too. It's like, Becca is really good at this. It's like, they want to wander off or do whatever, and it's like, oh no, this is the way it is. When you're here, you guys are not making out. That's not what we do here. And she said, you know, if you guys are used to kissing and making out, use this time as a fast. I mean, they're very, very blunt with the kids. But honestly, I think having all these unsaved kids around our church kids awakens something in them and says, there is a world that is in need of something more than religion. So,
in the kids area, that's a part where I think leadership, the adults really have to be majorly involved. And so we're setting the culture, we're setting the standards. If we have kids who are, just kind of out of hand and stuff, and this is where I think we need teams. We need at least one person who can deal with those kids so we don't draw away from everything that's going on in the room.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we're not wanting those kids to leave or feel ashamed. We want to minister to them so they become part of who we are and where we're going. I know that's a real kind of subjective answer, but we believe if they taste God, they're going to want him.
Just at our church, something that we've started doing, and this is more with the younger kids, because that's the group that I lead with, is instead of doing like timeouts, we do time-ins. So a teacher will go sit with the child there. And I don't know how that would cross over so much in the elementary or in the, but instead of excluding you from the group,
right.
Because that's what they need. They need to know you're still loved, you're still accepted. And a lot of times, their behaviors are wanting attention. That's just, so you give them that attention, not to reinforce the negative behavior, but to say, no, that we're going to be a part of this way. And that has been effective with our little people. But you do have to have multiple people that can do that.
Those would be the kids when I come to the part. If I come to a part of the deal where I'm going to pray over kids, I'll call that one up. Hey, would you come in? I'll lay hands on and I'll pray. And if they can experience God, it may take a few times, but I think they're going to come in because I think that needs to be. Let me just wrap up with prayer, and our time is up. Thank you, Lord, for loving kids and calling them into your kingdom. Now, Lord, as responsible vessels of yours, we pray you give us great wisdom and great grace to minister effectively in the lives of kids so that they don't see themselves as too young or too little to be a part of your kingdom. God, we pray we would unleash into this world a generation so vitally in love with you and so skilled in walking in the Spirit that they would change the world in their generations. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you guys for coming.
Thank you.